You are listening to BensTorah.com.
The part of the Haggadah that mentions the Bris Bein HaBesarim says the following: Baruch Shem HaHavtachos El Yisrael, Hashem is blessed that His promises that He kept, that He made to Klal Yisrael have been kept. Baruch Hu Shehakadosh Baruch Hu Chishav Es HaKetz La'asos Kamosha Amal Avravino BeBris Bein HaBesarim. Hashem made sure to fulfill His promises, manipulate time and various types of phenomenon taking place in our Golas Mitzrayim to make sure that the promise that was made to Avraham Avinu in the Bris Bein HaBesarim would ultimately be fulfilled. Shenema v'yom al Avraham yodor teda ki ger yezorach b'eres lo lahem, the kind of kufa in the period of the future that the children might be in a state of Golas. Avodam ve'ino asam, Abraham Yashana, in that period of Golos, unfortunately, will be subjugated, persecuted for X amount of time. But do not worry, they will be redeemed. Gamagoya she'avodu dor enochi, and those nations that subjugated them during these periods of time of being in Golos, I will ultimately punish them and judge them. Achreichen yetzah b'rechush gadol, when they leave Golos, they'll return back to Eretz Israel with tremendous possessions at their disposal. I mean, this is a little piece of the Haftacha, the Bris Bein HaBesarim, as I'm going to show you very shortly. Then the minig is, we basically cover the matzah, pick up a kos of yayin, kos Yeshuas es, Hashem Hashem Ekura, we hold it up. And we recite the following statement: Hisha Amdolanu Labaseinu Volanu. This Bris Bein HaBesarim has literally stood for us and for our forefathers for thousands of years. Shelo Echa Bilvat Amalein Lachalaseinu. It's not a one-time occurrence, but many, many nations try to stand up against the Jewish people and literally annihilate us. But that even though they tried to do such, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ma'aseh Leinim Yadam, Hashem always saved us and allowed us to be rescued from them and to continue to exist to this very day. If you think about Jewish history for thousands and thousands of years, the Shehinda Omdol HaSeinu seems to literally resonate in our ears. And unfortunately, we're still experiencing the Hisha Amda to this very day, as we're seeing what's happening in the world around us. The level of anti-Semitism today is simply incredible. Unfortunate, but incredible. So we have to realize that when we sit at the Seder, and we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rabbeinu Shalom, you made a Bris Bein HaBesarim, you're ashamed to have to hustle with Klal Yisrael. You always kept your promises that you made for us. We're soliciting Hashem at the Seder to take the Bris Bein HaBesarim of the past and apply it to our current situation as well. And this has kept Klal Yisrael going for thousands and thousands of years up until this very day, and hopefully further. What I want to analyze today are one of the component parts of the Bris Bein HaBesarim. And the fact of the matter is, the psukim in Parshas Lech Lecha is the place and the time where Avram was in a prophetic stance with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem addressed Avram Avinu in that specific encounter, very, very explicit encounter. And the Torah tells us, very explicitly, just to quote the pasuk for you in Parshas Lech Lecha, "Vayoyimer elav Hashem, asher hotzeisi me'orkazdem l'seis la'eretz hazot l'rishta." Hashem told him that I'm here, I'm the God who quite obviously took you out of Eretz Israel. Hashem tells Avram as well. Hashem appeared to Avram b'machseh in the prophetic prophecy, Leimar, Altira Avram anochi mogen lach, sechor chahabe moit. So what is being mentioned in the Bris Bein HaBesarim is in the prophetic vision Avram had from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He told Avram, do not be fearful. And the first thing he says, I'm going to be a mugain. That's number one. The second thing he mentioned is the promise that to Avram and Sarah, who were totally incapable of having children, forget about natural law. He took him outside and says, you're going to have children even against natural law. He told Avram in the Bris Bein HaBesorim that I'm going to give you the lands of Canaan that I promised your forefathers. He gave the borders, the land of the Keni, the Kenizi, the Kadmoni, the Hachiti, the Prizi, Arafoyim, Amori, Kanani, Agargoshi, Avusi, the land of all of these Goyishan nations who were living at time in Eretz Israel, Eretz Canaan, will be given to you in the future. And then Hashem mentioned another thing that unfortunately it could be that you, which means your children, grandchildren, will be in a state of Golus for a certain period of time. You'll be a ger of Eretz Lo Lahem, Avodim V'ino, some Avim Yashana. But don't worry, I will basically redeem them, and I'll punish the nations who tortured and persecuted them, etc., etc. So from this parsha, Chazal point out the four different sections of the Bris Bein HaBesorim. Listen very carefully, because as you're going to see, these are important factors that have significance hashkafically and historically to this very day. The first promise of the Bris Bein HaBesorim is Hashem says, I'm going to be your mugain, your shield. The Mefarshim point out, mugain means as a shield of the Jewish people. We were promised the special, special haftacha of indestructibility. As your shield, I will prevent any nation on the face of this earth, no matter how powerful they are, of ever having the capability of destroying the entire Jewish people, lock, stock, and barrel. I'm the shield. I'm the protector of the Jews from preventing that from happening. There's no other nation on the face of this universe that was ever given a promise of indestructibility. Many, many kingdoms, empires, underwent destructibility, and therefore they're no longer here. As even Mark Twain mentions, there's no longer a Roman Empire, and a Persian Empire, and a Greek Empire, and a Babylonian Empire. All these great empires are no longer here, the Turkish Empire. So the fact is, the only nation that still has stayed in existence for thousands and thousands of years and have shown to be resilient and totally indestructible is Klal Yisrael. That's the promise of Hashem being a mugain. That's why in the Shemone Esrei we recite three times a day, the first bracha ends with the concept of mugain Avraham. Realize, Klal Yisrael, you are Hashem's Am Segula, Yaham Nivcha, you're indestructible. And when you start reciting the Tefillah Shemone Esrei three times a day and doing the Avedas Hashem, I want you to realize that you have a haftacha, a promise from Hashem that was never ever given to any other Ummah V'Lashan, the indestructibility of Klal Yisrael, because Hashem is your Mugain, the Mugain Avraham. That's promise number one. Promise number two, when Hashem promised Avram and Sarah children, Avram said, but the Rabbeinu Shalom, according to natural law, I and Sarah cannot produce any children. You know better than anybody else. So what does it mean I'm going to have a child emanating from me and Sarah? It's against natural law. The Torah tells us, Vayotze Hachutz, Hashem took Avraham outside, but what's interpreted by the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos towards the end is Hashem said to Avraham Avinu, listen to me very carefully. The next major promise of the Bris Bein HaBesorim is that you and your progeny, Klal Yisrael, for all future generations, are not going to be bound by B'derech HaTeva, natural law. V'yotze Achutza, you're going to be able to override natural law. You'll live L'mayla M'derech HaTeva, M'chutz M'derech HaTeva. Anything you have to do for God's divine purposes in this world, whether you're producing children, whether you're defending yourself, religious activities, political activities, war activities, you're going to live l'malo miderech hateva, and things are going to happen to you and for you in a way that doesn't happen for any other nation in the face of this earth. One example we have in Jewish history, Rabbi Miad Miatim, in wars, we had plenty of nations that were much bigger than us, major nations bigger than us, millions against the thousands, and nevertheless we won those wars. Rabbi Miad Miatim has been the theme. That's one of the manifestations of you therefore living. L'malo miderech hateva, Avraham Sarah had a child, l'malo miderech hateva. The Gemara tells us that a mazal Yisrael were not bound by natural law. Hashem was mishana the teva for the sake of making sure Avram and Sarah would have a child together, the wonderful one, significant child, Yitzchak Avinu. So that's promise number two. Nothing in this world will therefore serve as an impediment to your continuation of your divine service of Hashem in this world in every area. Hashem will be there to make sure that you do things l'malo miderech hateva, if that's necessary, in order to accomplish your mission. Number three, the promise of Eretz Israel. As I mentioned, the Psukim, these lands of the 10 Canaanite nations are going to be given to your children in the future, not just as an inheritance of Yerusha, but as a Meirosha, an eternal heritage, as the Pasuk says in Parshas Va'era later on. Heritage is more than just an inheritance. It's a heritage for generation to generation. The only other thing that's a Marasha heritage is Torah. And the same way the Matan of Torah to Klai is eternal, the Matan of Eresot to the Jewish people is eternal as well. There's nothing to talk about. The Feirish, explicit, that's promise number three. And promise number four is, you want to have the schus of all these brachos and maximal success in this world. There's one prerequisite. You have to be shem yoter v'mitzvahs, observe the commands of Hashem, make sure you don't violate any of the negative commandments of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Your loyalty and your connectivity to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on a high spiritual plane guarantees success in everything that you do. And therefore you'll live a life of geula, redemption, a redemptive life with all the brachos applying to you. If God forbid you have a spiritual decline, rebellion, Rachman al-Itzlan, you read Sefer Shoftim as an example. How many times there were Yeridus of Klai Yisrael during that Sefer to get involved in the idolatry of that time? And every time they had an idolatry that they started worshipping, they literally went in from a Geula mode to a Galus mode, subjugation by this Gaisha nation and that Gaisha nation. So I therefore want to tell you, being the Am HaNivcha has responsibilities, has privileges, and you're able to be zocher them if you do the right things. If you don't do the right things, and you rebel against the Kaddish Baruch and Torah v'mitzvahs, get involved in the Gaish world and start accepting their idols to replace HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're going to have a Yeridah, you're going to have an unfortunate descent, be put momentarily into a galus, a subjugation mode. You do tshuva, you'll be taken out of galus and be brought back into geula. I'm not canceling any of your status as the Am HaNivcha, I'm segula. But realize whether in a geula mode or galus mode will depend upon your shmios, tarev, and mitzvahs. These are the four promises and concepts of the Bris Bein HaBesarim, and what I'm going to demonstrate today, dealing with major epics in world and Jewish history, how crucial these are, not only in the fulfillment of them, but how they shape the entire epic I'll be describing in all the various facets of that epic, and then show you how what I'm teaching you today applies also to the 21st century we're living. So listen very carefully in what I have to teach you this morning. If you go to the Tekufa of our living in Mitzrayim, something that was already forecast in the Bris Bein HaBesarim to Avraham Avinu, we find that Paro, in the beginning of Parshas Shmos, if you look in the Ramban and other Mefarshim, they point out that Paro wanted to commit genocide against all of the Jewish people. Once we have Yosef and all the other brothers passing away and Yaakov no longer there, he wanted to take the option now to take care of the Jewish problem. They're big people, they're powerful, they're intelligent, they're smart, and we're afraid that they might take over Egypt and throw us out. He therefore wanted to justify a gezeira of genocide against all the people of Klal Yisrael, as Ramban says. He saw many of his ministers would not acquiesce because they still remember the Shefer Bracha they had when Yaakov and his kids, Yosef, were still there. So that they wouldn't be willing to acquiesce to do. So he made a plan. Let's kill off all the boys that are born to the Jewish people. That will destroy the power of this nation for the future. Well, girls that are born will have the Egyptians marry them and literally let them assimilate and acculturate. But the desire was to commit genocide against the Jewish people. That was what he wanted to do. As big and powerful as Egypt was, in historical retrospect, did he have the capacity to commit genocide against all the Jews? The answer is no. Why? Because the promise of the Bris Bein HaBesorim is, I'm your mogen, I'm your shield. And no matter how powerful the nation is that's against you, even the most powerful nation on the face of this earth, I will shield you from that type of gezeira of total genocide, ani mogen lach. And that's demonstrated when it comes to the history of the epic of Shibud Mitzrayim and Gulas Mitzrayim. Number two, what do we see? Lamala Midarech HaTeva? Well, guess what? The Egyptians thought to really get at the nation of the Jews, to perform inui, to subjugate them, to persecute them, in all different types of ways the Midrash describes. What does the Torah say was their reaction? Kasha Yanu also, Ken Yibavi Yifrats. The more they persecuted the Jews, the more Sheba they put upon them, the bigger the nation grew. Bigger and bigger and bigger. 70 Neshamas that came down to Mitzrayim. By the time they left Mitzrayim, you're talking about at least 3 million men, women, and children left Mitzrayim. There were even many more, but they didn't want to leave and they were punished in the days of Choshech, the Makas Choshech. But Klal Yisrael literally went against natural law. When you're persecuted, you diminish the numbers of people. Kashayanu ken yibi yifrots. That's the promise of surviving and thriving, l'mala m'derech ha-teva, against all concepts of natural law, physically, geopolitically. That's what happened. The Yesar Makos that Mitzrayim experienced over a year's time, also l'malam idarech ha-teva, to show that Klal Yisrael has a God who's protecting it, that controls natural law, can change natural law for the purposes of preservation of the Jewish people. If that's the case, the promise of the Bris Bein HaBesorim of their survival there and the ultimate redemption l'malam idarech ha-teva is quite obviously seen in the epic of Mitzrayim, the second promise, technically speaking, of the Bris Bein HaBesorim. The purpose of why they left Mitzrayim, the Geula, is number one, to have the schus of Kabbalah Satorah at Har Sinai, to become the Amanivcha, undergo the concept of Gira Kahalacha, and get Kedushas Israel with a new level of Tzelem Elokim, and be raised to a high level of spiritual connectivity as the Am Segula Amuvcha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, after they finish all of that new ascent to the concept of becoming the Am HaNivchar, if you look very carefully in the Chumash, in Pashas Ve'evra, when Hashem appears to Moshe to tell him future history, Hashem says to him, listen to me very carefully, Moshe. As bad as the Shibud is, but the Shibud is going to be ending, Moshe, through the Geula. And in fact, I promise you, 6 Lashonos of Geula. Hotzeisi, Vehitzalti, Ga'alti, Velakachti, that describe the events of their redemption from the time of leaving Mitzrayim even when they were still there, parts of the Sheba Slaba surely were peeled away. Their redemption, going ultimately to Harsinit and the Kabbal, the Teru, the Lakachti, and finally, the two more Lashenis of Gula. Hey, Vesi Eschem, Ores Hashem, the Sos, Yisod, the Lasesos, the Avi Yisod Yaakov, for Nasati Osolechem, Marosh, and Yashem. I'm going to take you out, bring you to Eretz Israel, and give it to you as an ultimate heritage of Marosha, a super duper inheritance for eternity of Marosha. So, and actually, they're not just four Lashonis of Gula, they're six. Hey, Vesi, Vinosati, we drink the dollar cases of wine corresponding to the first four Lashonis of Gula, the Hotseisi Hitzalti, and the Gaalti, and the Lakachti. The Chasam Sefer says it could be in the Kufis of total ultimate Gula. We're not just going to drink four cases of Yain, we might drink six, to bring in the Hevesi Eschem to Eretz Israel, and the Sati, the Teres Marasha. We'll see what happens when the Mashiach comes, whether it's only four kosos, six. Those who love to drink wine will have the schus of drinking six cups rather than four cups. But Benkach lo Benkach, the purpose of the Yitziah is to be given Eretz Yisrael, which is another promise of the Bris Bein HaBesarim. And finally, you ask yourself the question, why did the Shibud of Mitzrayim take place? What was the persecution? What terrible thing did the Jews do? So Chazal say there was a Yeridu Ruchanis. What was the Yeridu Ruchanis? The fact of the matter is, when they were living and assimilating and acculturated next to the Egyptians and the Egyptian Empire, they left the Goshen, they came into the metropolis of Mitzrayim, they stopped performing circumcision according to some Midrashim, they got steeped into the Memtah Shari Tumah, of the idolatrous environment of Mitzrayim. Those activities cause a Yiridu Ruchanis, the singular mitzvah that literally made the Avraham Yisrael Yaakov and their families different than the rest of society. The mitzvah above the Shiva Mitzvah Nei Noach, everybody had to do, was the mitzvah Bris Milah. The fact they were mevatel that momentarily, for whatever reasons they justified, was the Yiridu Ruchanis that caused all of these problems to take place. When Klal Yisrael did tshuva, they underwent circumcision, no matter how old they were. To leave Mitzrayim, everybody underwent circumcision. They participated with a tshuva of bittul avodah zarah, of the eating the idol of Egypt that was the most powerful idol according to the Egyptian theology. They claimed the keves, the lamb, was the most powerful animal in the face of the earth that represented the power of the Lamb in the heavenly stars above, and therefore taking that of avodah zarah and shechting it, slaughtering it publicly, and throwing its blood on the doorways, and throwing the carcass after they ate the lamb and throw it in the street to show total disdain and respect, was an act of bittul avodah zarah, mesiras nefesh, kiddush Hashem, and therefore that caused the tshuva and the kapara to go from a gullus mode in Egypt to a Geula mode later on. So all facets of the Bris Bein HaBesarim describe the historical epic and events of going down to Mitzrayim and coming out of Mitzrayim and all the events that took place. The four promises mentioned in Bris Bein HaBesarim of Mogen, no complete genocide, the kind of Lamala Miderech HaTeva to survive and thrive above natural law on all levels, the promise of Eretz Israel, and the realization that if you're in a gullus mode because of rebelling against mitzvahs, you have shibut. You basically do tshuva, and therefore I'm mostly nefesh for the sake of Torah and mitzvahs. You go to a geula mode. All four of these are seen in the historical record of Mitzrayim, and we discuss them and record them and analyze them primarily in the Haggadah on the night of Pesach. So that's thematically how the Mitzrayim's Geula represents the concept of the Bris Bein HaBesarim. And in the middle of the Haggadah, we stop to accentuate that, to explain that the reason we're now in a Geula mode rather than a Gullus mode, and we're not still Avodim, is because of the concept of the Haftachas of the Bris Bein HaBesarim. That's epic number one. Epic number two I want to mention today is the epic of what happened after the Gullus of Babel was starting to end, after 70 years of the Gullus of Babel, after Churban Bayis Rishon. We had the miracle in Paras of what happened by Purim, and ultimately we had the Zchus after the Purim miracle took place to be able to return to Eretz Yisrael to build the second Beis HaMikdash. So let's analyze that historical epic momentarily. In that epic we see that there was a desire from Ahasuerus and Haman and all the other anti-Semites of the world to annihilate, genocide the entire Jewish people, lock, stock, and barrel, men, women, and children. Once again, that's what they wanted to do. Did they accomplish it? No. The Rebbeinu Shem Azamagain prevented that machshava ra from ever being able to take place. So that's the first part of the Bris Bein Abasan that we see in the episode of Purim. Number two, did you see them living ultimately with miracles l'mal midachat eved taking place? So if you look very carefully in the Megillah, even though Hashem's name is not mentioned there, there are hidden miracles taking place continuously in the Megillah. The fact that Esther Malka was picked from thousands and thousands of women around the world.
You are listening to BensTorah.com.
Married to Ahasuerus after he killed his Vashti. I mean, statistically, it's almost an impossibility to figure that out. But when they're not living, if Hashem wants Esther to be in that place at that point in time to accomplish her shlichus, nothing is impossible. And geopolitically, things happen that literally normally not happen in the real world in which we live. The fact that Mordechai was at the right place in the right time to hear about the conspiracy to kill Ahasuerus, and finally they told Ahasuerus what Mordechai did, he revealed the threat against him, saved Ahasuerus' life, wrote it in the Sefer Zichronos, and later on for that to be recalled and mentioned to Ahasuerus, couldn't sleep at night, and realized he never thanked Mordechai properly and gave him proper kavod and reward for what he did, being dressed in Bigdei HaMalchus, riding on the king's horse, and this was being led by Haman, HaRasha, in the streets, the prayed for Mordechai, and later on Mordechai ascending to be one of the most powerful political figures in the land of Persia, the Tabas HaMelech were given over to them, the ability for them, technically speaking, to besides that, to have the ability to fight a war where there was already a gezeira of the Melech in the kingdom, that the Jews should be destroyed after Ahasuerus acquiesced to Haman, and then to have that gezeira overturned, and to give the Jews the ability now to defend themselves lock, stock, and barrel with the permission of Malchus to kill any amount of anti-Semites you want, no limit. I'm giving you rights to defend yourself, promulgated by gezeira HaMelech, given to Esther and Mordechai to literally popularize that literally the Jews are now able to change the situation, the Napachu, on a geopolitical level of their power structure in Persia, is the Lamala Miderech HaTeva. It's not normally done in the world of geopolitical activity. And therefore you see in that theme, the promise of the Bris Bein HaBasharim taking place. Now one Jew was killed in the Milchama, all the amount of Goyim that were killed as the anti-Semites, the Amalekim of that empire were destroyed, as the Megillah records, for perpetuity. What happened afterwards? After that nest took place of Purim, and quite obviously what happened? What happened was, Dayavish, who was the progeny of Esther and Ahasuerus, the Achrayus number two, followed what Kurdish had done before, returning the Jews to Eretz Israel, helping them have geopolitical control of Eretz Israel, fighting all the Goyish enemies there who didn't want the Jews to return, enabled them to make a Malchus, to establish the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. They supplied the Jews with money, with materials, with geopolitical clout, gave them the ability to have them reestablish the Jewish homeland, so they returned to Eretz Israel. So we have so far three of the major concepts of the Bris Bein Hasharim being fulfilled. The other one, about Gullus and Geula. Why the Gemara says in Megillah that Klaus have to suffer momentarily the Gezeira of threatening the existence of Klaus which in the time of Purim. So Shimon Yochai and his Talmidim had a discussion. Some say because they bow down to the Tselem that the king had put up, bowing down to Avodah Zarah. Some say because unfortunately they went to the Suda which Achashverosh is recorded of having made in the beginning of the Megillah, inviting the Jews to come to a separate location. He gave them Galat Kasher, kosher wine, kosher food. Everything was wonderful, but there was one problem. Why was the Suda made? To celebrate in the mind of Achashverosh that the 70 years passed, no redemption of the Jews, which was promised, ever took place. Guess what, guys? Forget about Geula. You're doomed here forever. Become royal citizens of the Malchus. I'm the one you should be worshiping. I'm the one you should be listening to. Forget about everybody of the past. The fact that a Jew went to a meal that's celebrating this tragedy that's being proclaimed by Achashverosh, not only got coming, but to have another this meal, people drinking out of kelim that were stolen from the Beis Hamikdash and now using this kelim and desecrating them by using them as drinking vessels and seeing the zilzul of Achashverosh walking around with the big day kain gogol. They should have vomited. They should have been felt a feeling of sickness. But nevertheless, they had anah. That caused the gezeira mishamayim, that caused a tremendous gezeira and a concept of Shivat HaMalchus on an incredible threatening level. When Klal Yisrael did tshuva, K'nais Kola Yehudim, they fasted, they repented. Not only that, the Chazal tell us, Kima V'Kiblo, they want Kabbalah themselves once again to be Torah Shem, Torah V'Mitzvahs, and once again to reaffirm all the promise they made at Har Sinai was like a Kabbalah, Sakar Torah number two. They went from Chet to literally Makabal Torah again, Torah V'Mitzvahs, and to obey Bar Hashem's Ratzayim, to not stay in Persia, but to want to return to Eretz and to rebuild it. This went from Golas to Geula mode. So you have in the Tekufa of Purim all four phenomena of the Bris Benus are once again being brought out in this specific historical epic. Now the Gedolim point out that these two periods of time have also two interesting phenomena to emphasize. Underwent the Geula in both, but there was a difference in the Geula. The Geula of Mitzrayim was open miracles. L'mala miderech hateva, everybody was able to see, and that was what the schus of that generation was. Because of the Mesiras Nefesh, literally risking their lives to mevatel the Vedazar of Mitzrayim, and eat the God and literally show total bittul, the Rambam says, that caused such a kiddush in Shemayim, Mesiras Nefesh, Hashem performed for them miracles of Geula, l'mala miderech hateva. When it came to the Geula of Purim, we find over there is, there were miracles. But the whole text of Megillah doesn't have Hashem's name mentioned. Why? Because ultimately it was a Geula b'derech hateva, based upon natural law. The miracles were hidden miracles that you can see in retrospect taking place. So it's a gather of a Geula and Hestech HaPanim. But nevertheless, it was a Geula. In retrospect, you see all the things that took place to bring the ultimate redemption to take place. So number one, the Mitzrayim was a Geula l'mala b'derech hateva. Purim was a Geula b'derech hateva. Number two, the Geulas Mitzrayim was an evil loy malech, totally beyond Hashem, all the miracles taking place, all the various nisim taking place. A malech was an evil news. Hashem said, an evil loy malech, I'm doing this myself. Open Yad Hashem. The Geula of Purim was literally a nesnister, hidden miracles, you couldn't see it. And not only that, the miracles were orchestrated with the help of the Gayesha world, the Gayesha government, that's called Rishian HaMalchus, with the permission of the Gayesha monarchy and all the authorities, the Jews solicited them, and they used their Gayesha clout to give them the geopolitical ability to return to Eretz Israel and to rebuild Eretz Israel. That's called the Geula, that's being done with the help of the Malchus itself. The Gemara tells us in Masechtas Sanhedrin Adav Tzadiches, in a pasuk Beitach Yeshana written by Yeshayahu Hanavi, that there are two types of gulos that Hashem has created as possibilities in the world. A gula shezachu, which is called the gula vachishena, swift, quick, l'malim idarech hateva, and the gula of beita, something that goes slowly, something that's bederech hateva. You can't see it initially, only retrospect, you can see based upon the events taking place, but it's bederech hateva, there's ups and there's downs. That's called the gula shalai zachu. The great gadol, Baruch Chaim HaKadosh, points out that the gulas Mitzrayim is a description of the possibility of a gula shezachu for Klal Yisrael, if they would be zeicha, and the gula of Purim is an example of a gula shalai zachu, like Klal Yisrael experienced at the time of Purim. And therefore, both of these types of gulas, when Merum is bechazal, in the words of Yeshayahu, has possibilities. How the gula takes place will depend the status of Klal Yisrael at that point in time when it comes to the need of gula taking place to save the Jewish people physically and spiritually and to preserve them as the Am HaNivcha for the sake of eternity. Now, with that in mind, let's go to our current historical period of time. There are patterns in Jewish history, as Chazal point out. Zechayu Mois Olam Binu Shnos Davidar. You have to look carefully to see the Yad Hashem in each and every generation, especially in times of a major epic in Jewish history taking place. I already showed you what happened when it comes to the Egyptian period of time, the Shivat Mitzrayim and the Gula. I already showed you later on when it came to the Persian Empire period of time, the Gullus and the Gula took place then, and how both of them have the various elements of the Bris Bein Abasarim operating behind the scenes to have the events take place the way Hashem promised in the Bris Bein Abasarim. I'd like to analyze now the events of the 21st century and the 20th and 21st century we're actually experiencing. When it comes to the threat of annihilation, there were many times that the Goyish governments in modern times, the 1800s, 1700s, the 1800s, 1900s, and now in the 2000s, how many times the Goyim wanted to kill us and destroy us? The most maximal threat against us, Rahmanul Etzlan, was the Holocaust. 6 million men, women, and children were destroyed in the most horrifying fashion. I'm not going to talk about that now. But the desire to commit total genocide against all the Jews was on the ultimate agenda of the Goyim of that period of time. Did they succeed in eradicating all the Jews? Rachmana Litzlan, they killed many, 6 million. But the Jewish people were Chayvei Kayem and survived that World War II and were not all annihilated. And therefore, the concept of genocide, killing us all, the mugging came around, the promise of the Bris Bein Abasarim, and prevented that eventual destruction of all the Jews from ever taking place. So you have a keem of that part of the Bris Bein Abasarim. Okay? In this period of time, how many of the Goyish nations still want to destroy us and kill us? How many wars have the Arab world fought against the Jews to annihilate us? Once again, Talmidim and Talmidos, think about this for a couple of minutes. Rabbi Miad Miatam that we saw by Chanukah, we saw over here in the last Tukufa, from Hakamas Medina to the present, how many wars they fought against us and are still fighting against us even to this very day. They want to commit genocide. The crazy Iranians want to have a nuclear weapon to shoot at Israel and obliterate all the Jews lock, stock, and barrel. That's their machshava. They're not embarrassed saying this. The war we're fighting today there is they told the representatives of President Trump, we have enough nuclear material to make 11 atomic bombs. And the big Satan is America and the small Satan is Israel. And we can have ballistic missiles to deliver the warheads, to destroy them with nuclear warfare. That's the reason this war we're undergoing now is taking place. Why America took the step to literally declare war against Iran and doing what they're doing, and they're doing pretty, pretty well in the last couple of weeks, fighting battles and making destruction against them on levels that no battle ever took place in the world before, ever moved so quickly and efficiently as was taking place today. Not only America's involved, the Jews are involved,
Each one has their own air force doing what they have to do. This is incredible times we're living in. But they tried to commit genocide. And Baruch Hashem, they're so weak now they cannot commit genocide. Hashem was the Magen, gave us Siyata Deshmaya, and that has been Mevutal. When it comes to the concept of Lamala Miderech HaTeva, how many miracles we have witnessed, first of all, in the Hakamas of Medina, where the state went from a place that was literally not capable of producing any type of vegetation, and then became an incredible place when the Jews returned and they were able to rebuild their homeland, made it an economic Hatzlachadika type of endeavor, not only agriculturally, but then they went into technology, they're leading involved in technology in the entire world, in all types of technology, especially medical technology. How much of the concepts of Klal Yisrael being able to do things l'malim yiderech ha-teva, to be successful in defending themselves, Rabbi Miad Miyatim, the war of 1948 alone, if the Israel was declared a state based upon the mandate of the ultimate United Nations General Assembly, America and Russia voted together, first time in the history of the UN, to do something positive, to give the Jews back their homeland in Eretz Israel. We were threatened by the Arab world in the war in 1948. Millions upon millions upon millions of Arabs from all different countries came together to annihilate the Jewish people, lock, stock, and barrel. We only had 600,000 Yidlach, and many women and children were part of that number. Not too many sophisticated weapons. We didn't have planes and tanks and all the other sophisticated stuff and rockets that the Arabs had. The world thought, what are you talking about? Truman was told by the State Department that was very, very Arab-oriented. Do not worry, Mr. Truman. The Arabs say within a week or so, the Jewish problem will be taken care of. And 2 years later on, who asked for an armistice? Who begged to stop the war? It was the Arabs. Rabbi Miad Miyatim on steroids. The Yad Hashem, once again, you're going to survive L'malami Derech HaTeva on a military level, on a physical level, geopolitical level. The fact of the matter is, the Rishian Hamalchos came to the fore. The Balfour Declaration, an incredible declaration in the year of November 2nd, 1917, where the King of England said, I'm going to therefore acquiesce to your request to establish in Palestine the homeland for the Jewish people. And we used our best endeavors to accomplish this. This was the famous Balfour Declaration. Later on in the year, July 24th, 1922, we have now the League of Nations, the first official body of multiple nations around the world, joining together as the predecessor of the ultimate UN later on, saying we're taking now up the Palestine mandate, whatever the Britons promised them, and the geopolitical control of Palestine, we're now going to develop a Jewish homeland for the Jews over there. Rishian HaMalchus is taking place in front of our eyes. Once again, Agula Shalazachel, with the help of the nations of the world, the UN vote later on, ultimately speaking, in May, in November 29th, 1947, Makim Apatis Arishin Amachis on a very, very high level. Majority of General Assembly voted to give us this Jewish homeland. Try that vote today, Tamidim Tamidos, in the UN. You'll see what happens or will not happen. But at that time, Hashem wanted it to happen, and it happened. And Baruch Hashem, we came back to Eretz Israel, and over 70 years being there, look at the wasteland that became an incredible, incredible Garden of Eden. Incredible. Hatzlach and Brach economically, agriculturally, technologically. Everything you can think of when it comes to Simon Brach in this world of the Brachas of the Torah have happened in Eretz Israel. The return of Jews, building of yeshivas, building of seminaries. The amount of Torah-dikah Jews learning Torah in Eretz Israel and the yeshiva seminaries are in levels. The Beryl Wine writes, we never saw in Jewish history before. Incredible. The stronger it grows with religious observance, the more powerful Eretz Israel grows. The fact Eretz Israel has an army that literally is looked upon as one of the most powerful armies on the face of this earth. With this project that took place now in Iran, everybody says the most two powerful air forces on the face of this earth. It's not only the American Air Force, but the Israeli Air Force, the IDF, and the American forces. People have a pached v'yira. Look what these people are able to do with modern technology to defeat their adversaries. The war is ahead of schedule. Can't believe this. We're seeing over here incredible miracles taking place. Seeing 200 ballistic missiles, which happened a couple of months ago, shot at the Jewish state. And all of them were knocked out of the air. And at that time, there wasn't any major casualties in that specific endeavor, but 200 ballistic missiles being knocked out by weapons where you had to counter the missiles. Even the people who made these missiles to counter the missiles of the Iranians said, I don't know how the equipment worked better than we ever planned had the possibility to work. This is the Yad HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the promises of what? Of the being able to survive geopolitically and militarily and physically. We're witnessing miracles in our time. You might say it's hidden miracles, let it be here, but it's a hidden miracle, but it's a miracle nevertheless. The ultimate purpose is to hold on to Eretz Yisrael forever, for the promises of the Avtach Eretz Yisrael, which were made in the Bris Benison, to be fulfilled. So far we have three of the phenomenon of the Bris Benison taking place. No genocide was able to be accomplished by the biggest of the Shayim. Number two, our success to survive Lamalim Midarech HaTev in all different types of ways. Even when it comes to making chidushim in this world, the amount of Jews that literally are given awards, the Nobel Prize, how many Jews in different areas are the ones getting the awards because of what they're doing and their research and development is literally benefiting the entire world. The Chasam Sefer says, not only Torah is going to share with the world and the belief of monotheism of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but when they see the technological skills and brilliance of the Jewish people and medical things and everything else, of course, a kiddush Hashem Shemayim, they'll realize why Hashem chose us as the Am Segula Yam HaNivchar. So you'll say, so why are we having tzaris? The tzaris is unfortunately there's still people that are assimilated and acculturated of the Jewish people. The people that are anti-Torah, that are trying to counter Torah itself and being learned, even in Eretz, let alone Chutz La'aretz, assimilation, acculturation, these are major problems. Slowly but surely people are coming around, and ultimately coming once again, Shema Torah v'mitzvos. Look at Nebuchadnezzar, the captives that were captured after the October 7th tragedy, and were redeemed, and they decided to change their lives. The Kabbal Torah v'mitzvos, once again, observe Shabbos, and Tefillin, and Davin, and everything else in Kashrus. There's a turnaround taking place. The statistics of the Israeli government tell us that based upon the growth of the Jewish population in Eretz Yisrael, within a couple of years, the majority of the people in Eretz Yisrael will be Shomer Torah v'mitzvos. That's going to strengthen Eretz Yisrael, give us a real, true gulamite. And all the brachos and all the positive things will be able to be fulfilled and the eradication of our enemies. The ultimate Melchemes Gog Magog, that's really active, that's actively taking place now. And the promises in Tanakh, Zechariah, and Yecheskel of the eradication of Gog Magog and all the people that are part of that conspiracy against the Jews. It'll be eradicated. Not only Timcha Zecha Malek, but Macha Emcha Hashem says, we see slowly but surely the events taking place. So if I have to define our Tekufa now seems to be modeled after the Gula Barishin Hamachus, as was described by Chazal, when it comes to the concept of Be'ita, as our Chaim HaKadosh points out, is going to be Barishin Hamachus, as we find the Ramban, the Radak, even later on the Vilna Gaon claiming, that a gula bizman is will be Barishin Hamachus, at least initially. And if that's the case, we're experiencing things now of the prophets of the Brisbane HaBesarim that are keeping us going and giving us ability to counter our adversaries and giving us the schus of holding on to Eretz Israel and building Eretz Israel and establishing Eretz Israel against all the anti-Semites on the face of this earth that are trying to stop it. But every time they try to stop it, Hashem does something, gives us the power to obliterate that opposition and to go forward. So if you ask me about the shir today, what I want you to know is that when you're sitting on the table on the night of Pesach and you're reading the Haggadah, and you stop and you cover the matzahs and you pick up the cup of wine and you say, V'hisha amda lavaseinu, we're highlighting the brachos and the promises of the bris bein habesachim. No genocide for the Jews. Surviving l'mala miderech hateva. The promise of the eternal marasha possession of Eretz Israel. And the fact that you control your destiny, whether it's geula or shibud, or golus, depending upon your spiritual state at that point in time. The bris bein habesachim is what keeps us going, has kept us going in the past, is keeping us going now, and will keep us going for the future. He sha'am dolav ha'seinu v'lanu. Shal echa bilvad amar lein lechal ha'sein. It's not a one-time phenomenon being threatened. B'chol dove dar oindam lein lechal ha'seinu. For thousands of years, they threatened the extermination and genocide of the Jews. And what happened? The bris bein habesachim, the promises of that, the Magen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Matzilein Miyadam. Tamidim Tamidos that happened for thousands of years in the past, is happening before your eyes now, in front of your eyes, and this bris bein habesachim is what's going to guarantee us that no matter how difficult the period is we're facing now, and there's anti-Semitism all over. All the anti-Semites have come out of harm, out of hiding, and we know who they are. But that is the Ratzon of Hashem, for it to be disclosed who they are, to know mi v'mehoindim, who's going to survive the tekufa of this Melchemes Gog and Magog, who's going to be destroyed, because they don't want to repent from the anti-Semitic behavior. Who are the Amalekim that are going to go? Not only Timcha Zechamalek, but Mach Emcha, Hashem says, I'm going to eradicate them. So they shouldn't stare Hashem's divine plan of ultimate messianic period and ultimate redemption of the entire world. We're experiencing that period right now, Tamidim Tamidos. But don't think it's easy. Chazal described this period as an oni, a person is a poor man riding on a donkey. When you're riding on a donkey, there are ups and downs, there are bumps in the roads. Sometimes it's a smooth ride, sometimes it's a bumpy ride. We're now living through the bumpy ride, ups and downs. But that is part, but it's going forward, and it's making the trip, and there is a destiny we're traveling to. Do not give up hope. Out is your esh. You have to have a moon and bitachon, because the theme of the night of Pesach is ultimate emuni bitachon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the promises he gave us will all be fulfilled. Hashem's omnipotence, omniscience, and all that Hashem has is able to guarantee that all the promises he made in the bris bein habesachim will be fulfilled. Let's hope and pray when we basically say the Hisha Amda and the Haggadah, that we feel and we say to ourselves, it's happening. We're now in the process of this metamorphosis. L'shana hazeb Yerushalayim habenuya, the Mashiach shekam, the Zechiyah of the Binyan Beis Hamikdash, the eradication of the Hashkafis Amalek from this world, the finishing of the Gog and Magog, the final redemption, and coming to a period of Menucha V'Kavod, no more Shivat Malchus, total Cheres and freedom, physical and spiritual.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.